My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Inflation is still trending down, but from Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Yearly price increases were a little less sharp in November than in October, 3.1% versus 3.2%. But month-to-month, things don't look as good. After being flat in October, prices ticked up 0.1% in November. Core inflation, where you take out food and energy, also rose. So what do we make of that? Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel.
Inflation is not as worrisome as it was last summer or fall. However, we tend to look at core CPI, so ex food and energy. The month-to-month change came in at 0.3, so it ticked up a bit from October. I think on a year-on-year basis, inflation is hanging out around 4%. Again, not as bad as last summer, but 4% is quite a bit higher than the Fed's 2% target. And some of the signs point to that it's going to be slow to get back to 2%.
Yeah, it looks like, indeed, prices are kind of settling in around 3 or 4% inflation. How do we get that last mile of inflation reduction?
It might just take more time for things to settle down. The Federal Reserve might have to hold rates where they are, above 5%, for longer than the market currently anticipates.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Small businesses employ almost half of all workers in the private sector in the U.S. The people who run these businesses are becoming a little more pessimistic. The National Federation of Independent Business's Small Business Optimism Index inched down in November. It's now been in negative territory compared to the historical average for almost 2 years. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
NFIB's head of research, Holly Wade, sums up what's bumming out small business owners in four words.
Inflation and labor shortage.
But here's the thing. Inflation has been falling, and labor supply has been improving. Still, says Wade,
they don't see particularly anything to suggest those headwinds are easing up in a significant way.
But as stressed as they are, Wade says small business owners aren't super pessimistic about the future.
Their sales expectations, that hasn't deteriorated as you would expect if we were headed towards a recession.
The sector has been through a lot, says Frank Fiorelli at payroll processor Paychex.
These small businesses have been very resilient, hanging in there, and they're doing a very good job of maneuvering.
And Fiorelli says they're finally getting a bit of relief on wages, which are now growing at the slowest pace in more than 2 years. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The United Auto Workers ratified new contracts with automakers last month, ending a six-week strike. Now, the union is going after non-union automakers. It filed unfair labor practice charges against Honda, Hyundai, and Volkswagen, saying the companies used aggressive anti-union campaigns to keep workers from organizing. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
After securing contracts with three automakers last month, the UAW launched a campaign to push all non-union auto workers in the U.S. to organize. Now, 2 weeks later, the UAW says automakers have used union-busting tactics, like polling employees about their support for the union and confiscating union materials. Hyundai and Honda deny the allegations. Volkswagen says it will investigate the claims. So far, workers at 13 non-union companies have announced campaigns to join the UAW. Membership is about half of what it was more than two decades ago. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Congress goes into recess for the rest of the year on Friday, which means it is up against a tight deadline to pass a bill that would provide about $15 billion in aid to Ukraine and another $14 billion to Israel, something the Biden administration has been asking for. In exchange, Republicans want changes to the immigration system, which hasn't been significantly updated in decades. This raises the question, how well is that system operating right now, particularly for those immigrants who want to work in the U.S.? That is what we wanted to ask Julia Gillette about. She's Associate Director of the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute. Hi, Julia. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to immigrate to the U.S. in order to work, how easy or how hard is that right now?
You know, there are pathways for some workers. Like there is the H-1B visa, there is the visa for farm workers. But for many types of jobs, there isn't any employment-based immigration pathway at all.
And then for the category of workers, the high-skilled workers that get what we call H-1B visas, are there enough slots?
There are more employers that would like to bring foreign workers than there are slots available. Arguably, we would benefit from having more legal-based immigration, both to sustain and grow our labor force as our population ages, and to encourage people to come through legal pathways, to come and work just like they want to do.
What is the burden on an employer who wants to hire an immigrant?
It depends a little bit on the specific pathway, but generally there's a multi-step process that employers have to go through. In some cases, they have to prove to the Department of Labor that they've tried and failed to find a U.S. worker for the job. Then the immigrant themselves has to go through an application process. In pathways that have annual numerical limits, some people hit up against those caps, and then either there's a lottery or people wait in a line. Right now, there are about 1.6 million people waiting in line for an employment-based green card. Most of those people are from India, and Indian nationals, in fact, face a wait for an employment-based green card that is now longer than the human lifespan.
TSMC, it's a Taiwanese semiconductor maker. They agreed to build a factory in the U.S. this summer, and then the company said it was struggling to find workers who know how to install semiconductor equipment here in the U.S., so they have to delay the project. Farmers say they have trouble getting seasonal workers. Is there any mechanism by which the slots for workers adjust to the need for workers, like whether we're in a recession or whether the economy is growing?
In our current system, no. We are stuck with an inflexible system where we rely on Congress to change the caps and categories for immigration. We would argue, and many would argue, that we need a system that is flexible. We can't be waiting 30 plus years for Congress to find the will to update our laws. We really should have a system where it is flexible and where it can expand and contract depending on labor demand.
Julia Gillott is Associate Director of the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute. Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
More from that interview at marketplace.org and on the podcast. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.